Our first scripture reading today is from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 through 14. Hear now this reading from the Holy Scripture. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor. Together a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolation I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord of nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away, saying, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from lands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness from sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fitness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word in creation, the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
So our second scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John. I'll be reading from the first chapter of John, verses 1 through 18. These are very familiar words to us. We have heard them many times. And so I encourage us to listen with new ears for the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, who he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. For the Word in creation, for the Word in spirit, in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. Now, those of you who participated in our 2 Wednesday evening Advent study and conversation may recognize parts of today's sermon as a disclaimer, because the reading we just had from the Gospel of John was the text, the primary text for that conversation as we explored the Word in creation, the Word in Scripture, and the Word within us. And as we learned then, in order to truly understand and appropriate this text, we need to have a little linguistic context for 2 words in particular. And these 2 words are the word, Word, which in the Greek is logos, and the word flesh, which in the Greek is sarx. Logos, the eternal rational principle that governs and develops the universe. Logos is a word that comes from Greek philosophy. The eternal rational principle that governs and develops the universe. And sarx is flesh. The soft substance of the living body, which covers the bones and is permeated with blood of both humans and beasts. It is also the sensuous nature of humans without any suggestion of depravity. And it is also the physical nature that is subject to suffering. Flesh, the human experience, as well as the animal experience. Flesh. The text tells us, echoing the first phrase of the Hebrew Scriptures, "In the beginning was the Word." And it goes on to say everything is created through the Word, and that the Word is the source of life. In the beginning was the Logos, this principle that holds the universe together, and everything is created through this, and life comes from the Word. Now, when one juxtaposes these verses of John's Gospel with the first verses of Genesis, there can be little doubt that the writer of John is making a direct connection between the Greek philosophical principle that governs and develops the universe and the Jewish God of creation. In the beginning. I heard a comical story from one of my seminary language professors. I'm not sure if it was a true story as much as it was just a warning to us as we entered one of our exegetical exams where we had to take a Greek passage and translate it and analyze it. And he told the story, he says it happened to one of his classmates that he was getting ready for his exegetical exam. And in this particular class, there was another twist to it. They didn't know if their passage was going to be from the Old Testament or from the New Testament, whether they were going to have to translate in Greek or Hebrew. And they picked up the passage, and the first three words were, "In the beginning." And my professor's friend just said, "Oh boy, I've been studying that first chapter of John. I got this." And he just whipped it out and handed it in without even thinking about it, without really realizing that the passage was from Genesis. In the beginning. Makes this direct connection of this philosophical concept to the Hebrew God of creation. And by the way, this is a perfect example within the Bible itself of how Scripture and theology evolve through the appropriation and adaptation of cultural influence, which is an evolving process that is continually dynamic and to which no time or culture is immune. The Scriptures are continually being interpreted in light of the culture in which they exist, even today and especially today. But of course, that's another conversation. Today, as we look at this passage from John, it says to us, all of creation, including humanity, has been from the beginning and continues to be infused with the Word, the presence of God. And we call this divine presence incarnation. From the beginning. Now next, the Gospel of John makes another big connection using the flesh and blood of John the Baptist to introduce the concept of enlightenment. John the Baptist, just like Isaiah and many of the other prophets before and after him, tell us that the eternal presence of God is light in darkness, which is a metaphorical way of saying it is the realization of the presence of God having always been with us. And John the Baptist tells us that the light is coming into the darkness. And then comes this phrase that connects this word, this philosophical concept, to Jesus himself. The Word became flesh and lives among us. And I would like to suggest to us this morning that this one phrase has at once been either the most restricting or the most liberating proclamation of the gospel. It is restrictive because early in the development of Christianity, we Christians reduced the concept of incarnation to Jesus alone. In this one phrase, the entire history of God's presence in all of creation collapses into one person who then becomes the only way to experience God. And on the other hand, This phrase, the Word becomes flesh and lives among us, is a reminder in the life and teaching of Jesus of the forgotten eternal presence of God in all creation and time and in our lives. So at once, this phrase restricts our understanding or it expands it. Author Richard Rohr puts it this way. In Jesus, God tells us that God is not different from humanity. Thus, Jesus' most common and almost exclusive name is the human one, or a son of humanity, the son of man. He uses the term 79 times in the four Gospels. Jesus' reality, his cross, is to say a free yes to what his humanity daily asks of him. It seems that we Christians have been worshiping Jesus' journey instead of doing his journey. The worshiping feels very religious. The latter just feels human and ordinary. We are not human beings on a journey towards spirit. We are already spiritual beings on a journey toward becoming fully human, which for some reason seems harder, precisely because it is so ordinary. Incarnation. Rather than being some kind of supernatural, miraculous event in the life of one person, turns out to be the most ordinary occurrence in the universe. The Apostle Paul, who also quotes a Greek poet here, puts it this way, "In God we live and move and have our being." Another Paul, the 20th century theologian Paul Tillich, called God the ground of being. And Jesus says later in the Gospel of John, "I am in God, God is in me, and you in me, and I in you." While Matthew's final words to his disciples and to us are, "I am with you always, eternally." Now, I don't know about you, but when I get past the audacity of this kind of thinking, it becomes, for me, the most liberating and comforting notion I know. That regardless of the circumstances of our lives, even and especially in the suffering that we have in our own lives and see in the world around us, regardless of any circumstance, the life-giving presence of God is in, through, and around us. The Word became flesh and dwells among us. Amen. Wow, I'm having all sorts of epiphanies with last words of the hymns today. Till we see you face to face. I always sang that hymn as that meant when we got to heaven and saw Jesus. But what if it means when we see you face to face right here and now? which more and more, I think that's what Jesus was pointing us to. I want to recall one phrase from our reading that sometimes gets lost in this whole passage. And it's the verse that says, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." And then later on in the Gospel of John, what does Jesus say? It's the little phrase that we all shared with one another on Christmas Eve as we passed the light around this sanctuary. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." My friends, we've just come through the season of incarnation, and it points us toward Epiphany, the season of light. To discover our true humanity so that we can make the journey of Lent. Go into the light which has entered our darkness. Amen.